Let's begin with prayer.
Alpha and Omega, first and last, glory outshining all the lights of heaven, pour out upon us your spirit of faithful love and abundant compassion, so that we may rejoice in the splendor of your works while we wait in expectation for the new heaven and the new earth you promise when Christ shall come again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand as you're able for the call to worship. Praise the Lord, all the earth.
Praise the Lord from heaven. Praise the Lord in the heights.
Praise the name of the Lord, and the Lord's glory shall be praised.
For people near and people far, for people present and people to come, for the young and those who rise with age.
Come, let us praise the Lord.
Come, let us worship God.
Please turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 634, To God Be the Glory. Please be seated. Amazing love is this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us to wash away our sins. Because we have faith in Him, we dare to approach the throne of God with confidence, asking for forgiveness of our sins. So in faith, and in penitence, let us go to the throne of God using first the prayer of confession printed in the bulletin and then praying together in silence. Let us pray. Holy God, you command us to love one another, yet we hold grudges and refuse to work for peace. You command us to care for all of creation, yet we neglect the earth and abuse nature through carelessness. You command us to walk in the ways of Jesus, yet we too often walk our own way. Forgive us, O God. Guide us as we work toward a new heaven here on earth. Lead us to reconciliation and a vision for your beloved community as we share your love with your people everywhere. Amen. Hear the good news. Who's in a position to condemn us? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. So hear the good news and believe that in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, indeed, our sins are washed away. We're new creatures able to live together in peace and in love. So now, as grateful, forgiven Christians, let's stand together and sing glory to God. Receive the peace of God's forgiveness. Let's pass that peace to one another. And the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Leave me hanging.
Good morning. Peace of Christ be with you. Peace Christ be with you.
Gracious God, living Word, as you revealed yourself to Mary that Easter morning, so reveal yourself to us. By the power of your Spirit, give each of us faith that hearing your Word, we too may proclaim, I have seen the Lord. Amen. Now, the scripture this morning, the first lesson, is from John 13, 31 through 35. When he had gone out, Jesus said, Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Holy wisdom, holy words, thanks be to God.
Will the children please join me up front? Good morning, Lexi. How are you? Do you know the alphabet? Do you know what's the first letter? What's the last letter? Do you know the Greek alphabet? No. Well, the first letter of the Greek alphabet is alpha, kind of like A, alpha, okay? Begins with an A. And the last is, you know, that's a good guess. It's omega. Omega. Looks kind of like a little horseshoe when you see it, an upside-down horseshoe. Anyway, so, up. Oh, hi, Lillian. Didn't mean to turn my back on you. Hi, Samuel. Anyway, so in the Greek alphabet, the first letter is alpha and the last is omega. Well, in our scripture for today, in Revelation, Jesus says, I am the alpha and the omega, the beginning and the end. It's as if he said, I am A and Z. So what we're saying when we say God is the Alpha and the Omega, or Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, that means Jesus was at creation and Jesus will be there for us in the end. And that gives us great hope and assurance that we know that, and I say this every Sunday, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. That's because Jesus is our Alpha and Omega, there for us in the beginning, even before we knew it, and in the end, will always be there to love us. Let's pray. Lord God, we are so grateful that you are always there for us, that you are our Alpha and Omega. Help us, O Lord, to live in that trust and in that hope. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for coming up. Let me go back.
In the stars, his handiwork. Oh,
That was beautiful. Thank you, Haley. Brings back memories. That was a song we used to sing in youth group. And that's... Our next reading is from Revelation chapter 21, beginning with verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God, and they will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I'm making all things new." Also, he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I was in high school in the 70s, it was popular to talk about the book of Revelation. A book had come out called The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey that described how current events had been foretold in the Bible. Several preachers picked up the theme and had prophecy crusades, which tried to scare people into accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior, or they might miss the rapture and have to endure horrible persecution. More recently, in the 90s, Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins published a series of novels called the Left Behind series, again playing on the fears that some Christians have that they might not be good enough to be taken up in the rapture, and they might be left behind to endure the scary tribulation that's mentioned in apocalyptic literature such as Revelation. Again, the books generated a lot of fear and discussion of prophecy in the book of Revelation. At the outset, I'd like to repudiate that whole approach to evangelism. God does not condone fear. In the words of John, perfect love cast out fear. It has been said that the command to fear not is the most repeated command in the whole Bible. In fact, some have said it's repeated 365 times in the Bible, once for each day of the year. God's approach to evangelism is love, not fear. Likewise, the whole concept of rapture comes from a strained literalistic reading of a passage in 1 Thessalonians, and it's not believed by most scholars. But what do we do with scary books like Revelation? What do we do with apocalyptic literature? The word apocalypse has come to mean a horrible disaster. Last year's terribly cold winter has been nicknamed the snowpocalypse. However, the Greek root apocalypsis actually means a revelation, a disclosure, an unveiling. That is where we get our name for the last book in our biblical canon, Revelation. The point of apocalyptic literature was actually to bring hope. The apocalyptic books came out of times of great trial, trouble, and tribulation. The ultimate resolution of the books was the victory of God and the forces of good. It's kind of like the plot of a Marvel comic book or movie. An evil force comes to town. A superhero fights the evil force, and good triumphs. This reminds me of the time that Batman and Robin went on a camping trip. Batman and Robin go camping in the desert one day. They find a suitable spot, pitch their tent, and soon fall asleep. In the middle of the night, Batman wakes up his faithful friend, saying, "Robin, look up at the sky and tell me what you see." Robin replies, "Why, Batman, I see millions of stars." Batman then asks him, "And what does that tell you?" Robin is silent for a moment while he thinks about this, and he says, "Well, astronomically speaking, it tells me there are millions of galaxies and potentially billions of planets. Astrologically, it tells me that Saturn is now in Leo. Chronologically, it appears to be approximately 3:15. Theologically, it's evidence the Lord is an all-powerful, and how small and insignificant we are. Meteorologically, it looks as though we're in for a beautiful day tomorrow. What does it tell you, Batman?" Batman is also silent for a moment, then says, "Robin, those are great observations, but it tells me that someone had stolen our tent." Sometimes we read too much into a story. The book of Revelation is not a detailed recitation of future events, predicting the future. Most scholars recognize it as highly symbolic literature, using symbols familiar to first century Christians, reassuring them that God is in control and God's good plan will prevail. John of Patmos wrote the book to reassure Christians, just like Daniel was written to reassure Jews in exile. Let's consider today's scripture in particular. Verse 1, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more." This takes us back to the first book of our biblical canon, Genesis. When God created the heavens and the earth, the Spirit of God, the wind, separated the waters. The waters, or the sea, represents chaos. God created a good earth, and in the end will dispel the chaos which has arisen. Thus the seas will be no more. Verse 2, "And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." After the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, there was much fear and sadness. The idea that God would bring Jerusalem back in glory was a reassuring and hopeful image. God, who was seen as dwelling in the temple in Jerusalem, will be back again, dwelling among the people. Verses 3 and 4, And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. The promise is made quite explicit. God will prevail. Peace will prevail. We will live in a place where God lives, and pain will end. Verse 5. And the one who is seated on the throne said, see, I'm making all things new. We hear of urban renewal and downtown redevelopment as hope for our city. We have God's promise of creation renewal. God, who made creation good, will renew creation and restore God's good purposes. Note that this is not giving up on creation. This is not a destruction of creation. This is a merging of heaven and earth and renewed emphasis on God's original purpose in creation. This is why we take care of God's creation. That's why we take recycling seriously. God takes God's creation seriously and promises to renew it, so should we. Verse 6, and he said, write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Here we have the very familiar saying that the Lord is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. There is great comfort in knowing that God, who created all things, is with us throughout, even until the end of times. So fear not. God has promised to be with us no matter what. God makes all things new. Amen. Having heard the word of God read, sung, and proclaimed, let's stand together and say what we believe using the words printed in the bulletin adapted from the Confession of 1967. What do you believe? Life in Christ is life eternal. The resurrection of Jesus is the sign that God will consummate the work of creation and reconciliation beyond death and bring to fulfillment the new life begun in Christ. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 14, For the Beauty of the Earth.
Lord,
Please be seated. There's only one Lord and God, from whom all things come, and for whom we live. Let us offer our lives, our tithes, and our gifts to the Lord. The ushers, please come forward. Let us pray. We praise and thank you, Lord God, for the majesty of your work, the wisdom of your word, and the generosity of your grace. Let the gifts of our lives bear witness to your goodness and mercy, your faithfulness and justice, and your steadfast love for all. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Trusting in God's promise of new creation, let us pray to the Maker of heaven and earth, saying, O God of new life. We pray for the church. Make your home among us, O God. Let us be a true and trustworthy sign of the new thing you are doing. O God of new life. We pray for the world. Make all things new where boundaries are no more, and all are siblings. May all be drawn to eat at the table of the Lord, whether from east or north or south or west. O God of new life, we pray for our communities. Give us a new dream, a new vision of your amazing love for all people, without prejudice or particularity. O God of new life, we pray for the earth. Heal the suffering of your creation. Let all creatures join together in praise for your renewal of the earth. O God of new life, we pray for loved ones. Be with them in their suffering. Wipe away the tears from their eyes. Let mourning, crying, and pain be no more. O God of new life. Gracious God, keep us working and praying for the coming of your holy realm of peace, where we will share abundant life with you through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Above all, we give you thanks, O God, that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now please turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 693, Though I May Speak, and please stand. Reminder session members, we have a meeting after worship, and we also have fellowship in the narthex as you leave. We got ice cream, so join us there for fellowship, please. Having heard the word of God to you through the Holy Spirit, I charge you to go out into the world in peace. Trust the promise. God was with us in the beginning and will be with us in the end. God will make all things new. Pass the peace of Christ among you as you go. May the peace of Christ be with you. And now may the grace, mercy, peace, and power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.
I got this going. I said, good already.